الشهر إن شاء الله. بيجن شيخ.
الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our 58th lesson of Usul al-Thalatha, the three fundamental principles, with our beloved Sheikh, Sheikh Salam al-Abi. Sincere apologies to all brothers and sisters for the delay in starting today. Inshallah, we should be back on track from today onwards, inshallah. Also, we'd like to mention that the class will be starting according to UK time, 6 p.m., inshallah. According to UK time, 6 p.m., UAE time, 9 p.m. from next class onwards. And once again, sincere apologies for the delay, mainly due to traveling. And inshallah, we'll pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh, and Sheikh can begin. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا الحبيب شيخ سالم العمري.
جزاك الله خيرا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, ثلاثة الأصول, the three fundamentals, by the Sheikh al-Imam al-Mujaddid Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab, رحمه الله تعالى. And we reach where the author says, regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he taught us all the good. He taught us what to do and not what to do, the things we have to do and the things we have to avoid. He told us, this is the way of the khayr, this is the path of doing righteous deeds, and this is the way that you should not tread upon. So he says, the good that he directed his ummah to was tawheed. And everything that Allah loves and is pleased with. The evil that he warned his ummah about was shirk and everything that Allah hates and rejects. Let us reflect on this paragraph, which is so rich. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he directed his ummah to all types of good, all the khair. And on top, the top in the list of the good things is the Tawheed. Tawheed is the peak. Because without the Tawheed, a person will be doomed, will be in great loss. Because Allah created us for the Tawheed, to worship him alone, to single him out, and not to associate any partner with him. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So the very reason behind our creation is to worship Allah and Allah alone. And that is the Tawheed, singling him out with all our acts and deeds. So the Tawheed, and there should not be anything more important and or treat it as more important than the Tawheed. And the evil that he warned us against was the shirk, the opposite of the Tawheed. With the Tawheed, you will have balanced life, happy life, righteous life in this dunya, in this world, and the Jannat al-Na'im in the next life, everlasting life, because of Tawheed, because you worshiped Allah and Allah alone. Whereas if you commit shirk, then you will be lost. You'll be ruined. First of all, you are going to have miserable life in the dunya, because you will not be free. You will be worshiping false deities. You don't have clarity. You will be in doubt because you don't know the way out and the true deity that deserves to be worshipped. Because the Tawheed, my dear brothers and sisters, it liberates the human being. It liberates your mind from all forms of superstition. No room is there for superstitions. Tawheed wipes that out. But the shirk, full of superstition. And see today what people worship. Things are unbelievable. Unbelievable. Worshipping idols, worshipping animals, worshipping everything. They are worshipping all these things. So what happened to their minds? What happened to their intelligence? Superstitions dominated. They don't use their minds. They don't reason. This divine gift, the aql, this gift which Allah has given to every human being, this gift that Allah made us distinctive and totally different from the rest of the species. The rest of the animals, the intellect, and yet we don't use it. Animals, by instinct, they worship Allah. They know their creator by instinct. But because of the shirk, this gift, intellect, is not used. It's idle. You don't use it. You don't reason. You worship things that you made with your own hands. So this is the greatest evil, the shirk. It humiliates the human being, humiliates you, brings you down. Because you see, my dear brothers and sisters, if you look around you, Allah made the human being the master in this creation. The master. Because if we look around what we have around us, our surroundings, we'll see plants, animals, inanimate, and human beings. Non-living things, stars, moons, seas, mountains, land. Then we see forests, kingdom of plants. And then we see animals and human beings. Now, if we make comparison between all these four, these are the main of the four elements or components that populate the earth, we found that the lowest is what we call inanimate, non-living things. That's the lowest. Next to it, on top of it, the plant. Top of it, animals. Top of it, man. So the human being is on the top of this pyramid. He's the master. And the inanimate serves the plant. And the plant serves the animal. And the animal serves the human being. The soil is inanimate, provides all the nutrients to the plant. The plant gives the fruit and the produce and the crops and the all different herbs and seeds to the animal. And the animal serves the human being. Who's the master? The human being. All these things are for him. Who made all these things to serve him? Who made all these three to be subservient under his control and under his some uncontrolled, someone, the creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now to come down and lower yourself and you worship the animals? Any type of the animals? You take this animal and made it your God and you worship it? Or a particular tree? Oh, a stone? What happened to you? Allah made you the master, and now you come down and you lower yourself. That's why shirk brings humiliation and lowers you. This is what happens in the dunya and in the hereafter. This person will be the fuel for the hellfire. Fuel for the hellfire. Because he did not use what Allah has given him. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. Allah said, they are like the cattle. Indeed, they are worse than the cattle. So no wonder that all the messengers whom Allah sent warned the people against the shirk. If you want to be free and you say, I am a free person, there's no freedom except through the Tawheed. It's the tawheed that will set you free. It's the tawheed that will set you free of all these shackles and bonds of slavery, superstitions. Tawheed will liberate you. Without tawheed, you are a slave and a slave of many things. You believe in many things which none of these objects that you worship makes any sense, because they don't deserve to be worshipped. They are false objects. So the Tawheed is the way of salvation. What will liberate you is the Tawheed. No tawheed, you are a slave, but not a slave of Allah. You are not a servant of Allah, but you will be a slave of many things. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Da'isa abdul dirham, da'isa abdul dinar." Woe to him, the worshiper of the dirham and the worshiper of the dinar. So you worship the dirham, you worship the dinar. Because you don't know the reason, the very reason behind your existence in this life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us throughout the Quran, in many ayat. He says in Surah Al-Isra, for example, ayah 23. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla, for your Lord has decreed that you worship none but Him. None but Him. And honor your parents. You should not worship anyone. No one deserves to be worshipped. The one who deserves to be worshipped is the one who made all these three things to serve you under your control, subservient to you, who made that giant animal, the elephant, obedient for you to ride, who made that camel so tame and obedient for a little boy, tells it, it falls in its knees. Who told that? Who made the animal so obedient to you? Not you. Not you. Not you. Don't feel arrogant. No, someone made all these things for you. And he left also other things in this kingdom, in the kingdom of the animals, that you cannot, control. As a reminder for you, don't become arrogant and think, oh, these things, I am the one who's controlling. No. Can you make the scorpion? Can you tame it? Tame the scorpion? It will bite you. It will bite you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who made all these things for you. So that is the one who deserves to be worshipped. Not the idols, not the trees, not insects. The one who created all these things, including you, is the one who deserves to be worshipped. The one who has given you all these numerous blessings, gave you this body, give you the intelligence, the intellect, give you the five senses. That is your Lord. That is the one you should worship. That's the one when you count, you should count on and rely upon and worship alone. A man came to Sayyidina Ya'far al-Sadiq, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, I don't believe in Allah. Where is Allah? So he told him, have you ever traveled by sea? He said, yes. He said, have you ever experienced rough seas and you were about to drown? He said, yes. Bad experience. The sea became so rough. And we were about to drown, to sink. He said, and you lost hope. There's no means of rescuing you. He said, yes. He said, did you have a feeling that there is someone at that moment, he is capable to save you? Did you have that feeling at that crucial moment? He said, yes. He said, that is Allah. That is God. That is God. That is the one you cry to when you are in trouble. All the atheists, when they are in trouble, they say, oh my God, it comes out. The fitrah, it comes out. Because what happened to the iman is kafir. This is the beauty of Arabic. He's called kafir, kafir. Kafir means the one who is kafiring something, you kafir it. That's the meaning of kafir, nothing more. You kafir the iman, which Allah put in your heart, the fitrah. So you kafir it. So there is a lid, cover on the iman. But when there is a big trouble, calamity hits you, the cover is removed. And the fitrah comes, and the iman comes. All those you see atheists, if you throw him from the high altitude, without parachute, what is he going to say? There is no God? No. He will be screaming and shouting, oh my God, oh my God. One of the paratroopers, he was an atheist during the, I read in his memoirs, Second World War. He's a parachute man. He jumped. The parachute didn't open. He started screaming and shouting, oh my God, oh my God. Then it opened and he landed safely. So he realized, there is God, must be. That's why I cry to him only to him. And this is what happens when you are in trouble. Oh my God, help me. So that is the one you should worship. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ. He's the one, only. the one who deserves to be worshipped, the one who takes care of us, the one who provides for us, the one who was taking care of us when we were helpless in our mother's womb. See, Subhanallah, because he is Al-Hafiz, the protector, one of his names. He protected you. First of all, see the place and the location of the womb. If you see the body of a woman, she's broader, wide in the lower part and slimmer in the upper part. The man, broader in the upper part of the body and slimmer down. Because here, the muscles, okay? Because he's the one who will be working and tilling the earth to bring the bread to the table. The woman? No, she's the one who's going to carry the baby. So the lower part is his tongue. So the womb is located in that whose part. There's cage of bones around. Then there are three layers to protect you. The abdomen, the uterine wall, the womb, and then that sac around you, which is full of fluid. Around you. So he protected you by three layers. And because the front part of you is so frail and weak, he made you in your mother's womb as a child, as embryo, to look towards the back of your mother. The back, which is the strongest part of the body of the mother, to protect this weak part if something happens to the tummy and the belly of your mother. And your back, which is stronger than the front part of yours, is facing the abdomen. Who situated you in that position and protected you by three layers and immerse you in this liquid? If there is something, the liquid will absorb that shock to save you. And then he connected you to your mother through the umbilical cord. So your mother, she takes the food, chew it, digest it, absorb through her blood, and comes to you. Who did that for you? Mother Nature? What is Mother Nature? The three things that you are on top of, that is nature. The nature is the three elements that you are the master of them. So Mother Nature didn't create you. So it is your creator who takes care of you. 9 months, he takes care of you. 9 months. And he provided you with what you need when you come out. He gave you eyes. In your mother womb, you don't see in your mother's womb. You don't see. You don't need them inside. But because he knows when you come out, you will need them. So he gave you eyes. He provides everything for you. So when you come to life, you will be able to survive. So keep in mind that when you were in your mother's womb, the only source for your food is that cord through your navel. You take your food from your mother. The moment you come out, the midwife is waiting with her scissors, with her pair of scissors. The moment you come out, you clip the umbilical cord. Okay, the means through which you receive your food is cut. But Allah provided for you instead of one way and through which you receive your food, there are now you have two options. Two breasts are waiting for you. Two breasts. Okay. Of your mother. The milk is conditioned. If it is winter, it will come warm. If it is summer, the temperature is reasonable. Temperature is controlled. And who taught you to start suckling? You had no experience. By default, you start to suckle. Who taught you that? The one who created you. He takes care of you. And now 2 years, your mother is breastfeeding you. After 2 years, you will be weaned. No more suckling, no more milk. Because now another phase you have to start. So no more milk, what will happen? No more two breasts. So when you were with a child within the 2 years, only milk, you are living on milk. Now Allah is going to give you everything to eat. Juices, honey, milk, fruit, all types. Just remember, in the womb, one, only that, what my mother eats, comes to me. I came to the dunya, two breasts. After 2 years, everything for you. Everything for you. And he is with you, nourishes you, develops you, takes care of you. Now you became a man, and now you became arrogant, and then you started to say, there is no God. What happened? Who did all these things for you? So that is the one that you need to deserve, and that is your creator, Subhanahu. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Subhanallah. After he commanded us and ordered us to worship him alone, he reminded us about our parents. Remember your mother. Remember your mother. 9 months, You are there in her womb. She eats and gives you. You need calcium. The calcium is for your bones. You extract it from the bones of your mother. That's why doctors, they will give pregnant women supplements. She gives you, your mother gives you the calcium inside her bones. 9 months she carries you. And you are there, kicking, swimming. Sometimes you kick and your mother becomes breathless. She cannot breathe. And then you pull back your leg. And your mother now can't breathe. And after that, she smiles. And when you are moving inside, oh, she's so happy. She tells your father, see, feel, mashallah, mashallah, do you feel him? She's so happy. And when you were coming out, women, they know that feeling. No wonder that if the mother dies in the labor, she's a martyr. Shahida, martyr. Because she goes through a lot of suffering, a lot of pain. The man who carried his mother from Yemen to Mecca and started making the tawaf while carrying her. And he asked one of the Sahaba. He said, I carried my mother from Yemen to here. Do you think I paid what she deserves? He said, no. Can she walk? He said, yes, she can walk. He said, let her walk. All this, what you did, carrying your mother from Yemen to Mecca and your back, cannot be equal to one of the contractions of labor. Contractions. Women, they know this only. All that. So you cannot reward your parents and in particular your mother. Then you grow up and you forget about your mother and you follow your sweetheart and you listen to what your sweetheart tells you. I don't want that old lady to be with me. Or she gives her, your mother, tough time. That's why Allah said, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا بِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Remember your parents. Honor your parents. And Allah Azza wa Jal reminded us many places about our mothers. Your mothers, your mothers. Why? What's the wisdom? The ulama, they said, because what she did for you, you did not see. So you need to be reminded. What she did for you, you cannot recall. cannot recall the sleepless night she had, she spent awake. The pain she went through during the delivery. So most of the things she did for you, you cannot recall. So you need to be reminded about the efforts of your mother and what she did for you. Because when you start to recall and understand, you see your father. Who brings you the toys? Your father. Who brings you clothes? Your father. So you see only the things that your father does for you. You didn't see the things your mother did for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us that we have to honor our parents after worshiping Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also Allah said in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 36, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah alone and associate none with Him, none. So worship your Creator, Allah, the true deity, the deity that deserves to be worshipped. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Remember, شَيْئًا is nakira. Remember the ma'rifa and the nakira. The proper noun and the common noun, the defined and the undefined, and the nakira is the word that you can add al to it. So you can say a shay, then it becomes defined, known. Kitab, nakira, undefined, any book. But when you say al-kitab, the book, so it becomes defined. So here, wala tushiriku, this is what? Nahi. Nahi, which means forbidden. Allah forbids us. He tells us, wala tushiriku, do not associate. So this is nahi, because la, it can be nahiya, nahiya, which means forbidding article. It forbids you and prohibits you. Prohibitive la in nahiya, and la an-nafiya. La an-nafiya, which means the negative la, which it negates, the negating la. So it has two meanings. It depends on the context. Sometimes la prohibits, and sometimes it negates. So here it prohibits you. وَلَا تُشْرِكُ in the saying of Allah, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ, here it is negating, nafiya. So Allah negates that he wrongs anyone. So here, وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا. So this prohibits you that you should not associate anyone with Allah. Because in Usul al-Fiqh, one of the rules in Usul al-Fiqh, it says, النَّكِرَةُ النَّكِرَةُ فِي سِيَاقِ النَّهِي أو النفي تفيد العموم. I repeat, and I repeated this many times. النكرة في سياق النهي أو النفي تفيد العموم. نكرة, which means the undefined noun or the common noun, like شيئا. In the context that has negation or prohibition, it denotes, it indicates generality. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. So here Allah prohibits us that we should not associate with him anything, شَيْئًا. He didn't specify what is this thing that we should not associate. So all things should not be associated with Allah. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. So worship Allah alone and associate none. You see, that's why they translated none. Where did they get this none? Because of شَيْئًا. شَيْئًا. It denotes that generality. So anything should not, you cannot associate anything with Allah عز وجل. ولا تشركوا به شيئا, and associate none with him. Also, Allah said in Surah Al-Hujurat, ayah number 7, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُّمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانَ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. الله says, and know that among you is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he were to obey you in much of the matter, you would be in difficulty. But Allah has endeared to you the faith and has made it pleasing in your heart and has made hateful to you disbelief. Disbelief, defiance, and disobedience. Those are the rightly guided. Let us reflect on this beautiful ayah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Remember and know that among you is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُمْ. لَعَنِتُمْ. The meaning, if he were to obey you in much of the matter that you ask him to do, you'd be in difficulty. You will be having anat. Anat means what? Hardship. Hardship. So that's why he said to the Sahaba, إن الله كره لكم قيل وقال وكثرة السؤال وإضاعة المال. Allah hates for you. Okay, قيل وقال. They say and they say this, they say that. Don't waste your time in that. Allah hates it. Allah doesn't like you to be like that. and to ask a lot of questions. وكثرت السؤال. كثرت السؤال here it means at the time of the wahi. If you keep asking, maybe Allah will send something which you cannot bear. Like those who came before you without mentioning names, they kept asking, asking, asking. They're perfect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very difficult for them. As the scholar, they said, had they accepted what their prophet told them, slaughter a cow, any cow will do, but not. What's the color of the cow? What's the age of the cow? What is what? They kept asking. So Allah made it difficult for them. Because when they started to find this type of cow, this cow, with all these qualities and features, they found it difficult. And then finally they found this cow. Belongs to an orphan. He inherited that cow from his father. So they told him, give us this cow. He said, no, I will not. This is the only animal I have and I will not sell it. So they told him, we'll give you this much. He refused. Then they told him, you know what? We will fill the skin of the cow gold for you. He sold it. Had they accepted from the beginning, any cow will do. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ was telling his companions, don't ask a lot of questions so that Allah will make it difficult for you. So Allah is saying, لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُّمْ. If he were to obey you in much of the matter, you would be in difficulty. ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم وكره إليكم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. This is what Allah did to the hearts of the Sahaba. ولكن الله, but Allah حبب إليكم الإيمان. He made the iman so dear to your hearts, so dear in your heart. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ زَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. This heart is so pleasing. This iman is so pleasing in your heart, adorning and beautifying your heart. He beautified it. He engraved that iman in your heart. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Made it pleasing in your hearts. At the same time, وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعُصْيَانَ. And he made you to detest and dislike and reject and hate al-kufr. وَالْفُسُوق, wickedness. So your hearts, they reject the kufr. They hate the kufr. Because the hadith, which is known to many of you, when the Prophet ﷺ said, وأن يكره أن يعود إلى الكفر بعد إذ أنقذه الله منه كما يكره أن يقذف في النار. This is the signs of the iman. Sign of iman that you hate the kufr. with the same degree that you will hate and dislike to be thrown to the fire. The same way that you hate being thrown to the fire, you hate the kufr. In the hadith, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةِ الْإِيمَانِ. Three things when you possess, when you have, then you have, yeah, you start to have this sweetness and delightfulness of iman. And يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ حَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. This is quality number one. Three qualities. Quality number one, Allahu Rasulahu Habba ilayhi mimma siwahum. You love Allah and the Messenger more than anything. They are dear to you more than anything. When يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا لله, and you love someone only for the sake of Allah. Quality number two. Number three, third quality, وأن يكره أن يعود إلى الكفر بعد أن أنقذه الله منه. كما يكره أن يقذف في النار. To hate the kufr in the same way that he hates to be thrown to the fire. So if you have these three qualities, then and only then you will start to taste and enjoy this sweetness and delightfulness of the iman. So Allah, this iman, زَيَّنَهُ, he made it there in their hearts as zina, adornment. Allah beautified their hearts with the iman. He planted this iman in their hearts. وَكَرَّهَا إِلَيْكُمَ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانِ. And he made the kufr so abhorred. You abhorred the kufr. You hate it. And the fusuq, wickedness. Wal isyan, disobedience. Ulaika hum ar-rashidun. Then Allah told us about them. Those are the rightly guided. Also Allah says, my dear brothers and sisters, in Surah Al-Isra, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ. This is what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Remember, we are talking about what the Sheikh said, that all the ways and all types of khair and good, he taught us. إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا كبيرا. Indeed, this Quran guides to that which is most suitable, upright, and gives good news, good tidings to the believers who do righteous deeds, that they will have a great reward. So, this is the khair the Prophet ﷺ taught us. He taught us this book, the Quran. And this Quran leads and guides to that which is the most suitable and upright, to the most straight, the right path, the way of deliverance, the way of salvation. إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم. Aqwa means straight, suitable, upright. That's why they say if you have a stick and it has crookedness and you want it to be used as a spear, what you will do? يقوم الرمح. So you try to make this spear straight. How? Remove anything additional to make it straight. Remove the crookedness, any additional parts, so that when you throw it, it goes direct. So this deen takes you straight to the Jannah, to your destination, to your target. إن هذا القرآن يهدي. If you follow what is in the Quran, it takes you to the most safe, the most suitable, the most upright. يهدي للتي هي أقوم ويبشر المؤمنين. So it guides you, leads you, and also at the same time gives you the good news. Those believers who are they? الذين يعملون الصالحات, those who do righteous deeds. أن لهم أجرا كبيرا. سبحان الله. أن لهم أجرا. Remember, we just spoke now a few minutes ago. When there is nakira, what the nakira does? What does it denote? Generality. أن لهم أجرا نكره. نكره أجرا. So I can add until it becomes الأجر. It's undefined. So أن الله أن لهم أجرا كبيرا. So the reward is unknown. Only Allah knows it. Only Allah knows it. So that's why it's undefined. So it is left for you. Imagine what Allah prepared for you. And it will be greater than what you imagine. That's why Allah said, أعددت لعبادي, I have prepared for my servants. أعددت لعبادي ما لا عين رأت, no eye has ever seen, ولا أذن سمعت, and no ear had ever heard of, ولا خطر على قلب بشر, and never crossed the mind of any human being, what is in the Jannah. You don't know. They don't know. So أن لهم أجرا كبيرا. This reward, no one can imagine it. A great reward. It's beyond our imaginations. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, when someone do you a favor, you cannot reward him. The best thing you tell him, Jazakallahu, what? خيرا خيرا نكرا جزاك الله خيرا نكرا. So you pray for me, may Allah reward you all types of خير. خيرا. That's how you can reward me, by saying جزاك الله خيرا. It's undefined. Some people, they say, Jazakallah, 1,000 times, 1 million times. Don't say that. Don't say that. You are limiting it. Say, Jazakallah khayra, unlimited. So that is, when you say it, that's how you can reward me. But just saying thank you, shukran, no. The best, jazakallahu khayra. Anna lahum ajran kabira. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us immensely. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his mercy in all of us and forgive all of us and overlook all our shortcomings and faults and flaws and mistakes. And may Allah forgive us our sins. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remaining steadfast on this beautiful deen, al-Islam, till we meet him and he is pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our hearts on the haq. Ameen. And may Allah unite our ummah on the haq. Ameen. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your dedication, for your patience, for your attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakum Allahu khaira. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Salam, for that beautiful lecture. There doesn't seem to be any questions as of now. We'll give them a few minutes, inshallah. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. If I can't buy a special product, but I need it, if there is an illegal way to get it and it's necessary, is the person sinful?
Would you mind repeating the question? Okay.
If I can't buy a special product, but I need it,
and you cannot buy it, okay?
Yes, but there is an illegal way to get it.
There is
and
what?
It's an illegal way to
illegal
get
way,
it.
Illegal way, okay.
Yes, and but it's a necessary thing. Is the person sinful?
The answer, yes, it is sinful to buy commodities and products that are illegal and smuggle to the country, because that means you are helping the smugglers, you are helping the criminals, okay? Or to buy some products that are confiscated and taken from the people and they are sold or stolen items. Yes, because you are helping them to encourage the doing this type of business, which is illegal. So you don't buy such commodities and such items. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Yes, it was very clear, mashallah. Why are Christians and the Jews not considered mushrikeen, yet they also committed shirk? Jazakallah khairan.
No, they are mushriks. But because they are different from the others, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them certain privileges over others because they have scriptures. That's why Ibn Umar is saying, I don't see anyone who is worse mushrik or more polytheist than a woman who says Jesus Christ is her Lord. Okay? So that's why. No doubt they are committing shirk. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Indeed, those who say Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, is God, they are kafirs, blasphemers. Or those who say, وَقَالَتْ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرُ بْنُ اللَّهِ, those who say Ezra is son of God. No doubt. But because they are closer to us in comparison to others because they have scripture and there are many things common we share together. believe in the prophets and believe in the resurrection, believe in angels. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored them and made them above the others, the rest of the others. And that's why Allah called them people of the scriptures, Al-Kitab, Al-Kitab, and allowed us Muslims to marry from among them their women, the most chaste one among them, okay? And allowed us to eat their meat, the animals they slaughter, if they slaughter it in the proper way. وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ حِلُّ لَكُمْ. Okay? But no doubt, someone says, Jesus Christ is my Lord. That is, what shirk do you want more than this? Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, I will ask them. Abu Diop, please unmute your mic.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. My question is regarding the nikah. The other day, I was at the masjid, and there was a nikah. At the end of the nikah, they said that the mahar should not be given all, like totally to the married. I mean, to the woman. Because they said that they have like the man has not consummated the marriage. Is that true?
They said the mahar is what regarding the
they
mahar?
Said regarding mahar, they said that the wali of the woman should not give the whole mahar to the woman because the marriage has not been consummated yet. Though, like, he should keep like half of it and give her half, not all. Is that valid?
Okay, so they are saying that, I can understand. They are saying that because the consummation is not over yet, so they are telling the wali of the woman, don't give her all the dowry, keep half with you. And give her half, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, in case, because they're saying in case the man decided, the husband decided to divorce her. Remember, we discussed this in the last one of the sessions.
Yes, yes.
If you divorce a woman before the consummation, then only you are entitled for half of the dowry to be given back to you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So because of that, they are telling the father of the wali, in case the husband decided to divorce her before the consummation, so you have to give him half the mahar. So it is with you. Maybe if you give it to the woman, okay, they will start and spend it, and then you'll not be able to give him half of it. From that angle, they are looking to it. Understand?
No, I understand. It's very clear.
Okay.
Okay. And the other thing is, at that nikah, they did not recite what is allowed in the sunnah. They just recited other surahs. And also, I heard they were saying, like the one who was talking, I mean the imam, he was like calling the malaika to be a witness that to be a witness of this nikah, and also to be a witness of the nikah and also
or digital assets, which is digital assets basically.
Okay, so to be a witness of this nikah, and yeah, I was wondering, like, was I allowed to stay there when I heard that?
No, there's nothing like that. Okay, to ask the malaika to be a witness and all that stuff. Okay, the those who are there, and there are witnesses known, who their names will be taken. Okay, so that's it. Some people, I don't know. This is how the people they start inventing things and add to the deen. Our deen is so clear and so simple. Just follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any other question, Akhi?
No, no, no. Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feekum.
Feekum barakallah. Next question, please.
Is cryptocurrency or digital assets haram?
Well, you see, this is still an area. It is a new, the Bitcoins, still an area of research. Okay. So it's still early to decide, is it halal or not? And the what we have called Majami' al-Fiqhiyya, the assemblies of the Muslim jurists and fuqaha, they haven't decided on this matter. So all the, what we hear, it will be individuals. This scholar said this, or this talib ilm said that. So until all these recognized bodies issue a verdict, one should be on the safe side and not to say this is haram or this is halal. Is this clear?
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. My question is, my mother needs a new TV and she knows I have refused to purchase her one in the past. I know she watches news and Islamic lectures, but the rest of the family I know might watch movies, etc. Am I sinful if I buy her one or give her money and ask her to buy her for herself?
No, you are sinful and don't give her money to buy it. Okay? Because then this tool will be misused, as you said, and others, they will watch haram and you will get that haram in your record, their sins. So don't help them to get it. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. That's what Allah is saying. تَعَاوَنُوا, cooperate, help each other. Regarding what? Birr and taqwa, righteousness. Regarding righteousness, we help each other. We give hands to each other. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا. You see, وَلَا. Remember this, وَلَا. So this is la nahiya. Prohibited. Prohibiting la. Wala ta'awanu ala al-ithm wal-udwan. Do not help each other regarding sinfulness and transgression. Sins, committing sins. So when you buy television for them, you help them to watch the haram and to commit sins. And then you will be the culprit. You are one of them. Similar questions, I think, was asked last week. Where people, they provide services for banks. The same thing, it's haram. Because you help them, you support them. Okay? So you provided them services. And Allah is saying, وَلَا تَعَاوَنُ. So you are helping the bank. Even the T-boy who works in the bank is sinful. T-boy. So this is established ruling in Islam. Is this clear to the questioner?
Yes, inshallah, Sheikh. That was the last question as well. If you'd like to finish up.
Alhamdulillah, barakallahu feekum. As you have heard that next class will be 6 p.m. UK time, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless your family, protect you, protect your family, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficial knowledge and amal salih, and may Allah accept our deeds and your deeds, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khaira. Until we meet inshallah in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. بحفظ الله ورعايته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.